Yes. Boy, it's good to be back in Augusta. Man, this is the time of year to be in Augusta, isn't it? It's probably hard for you guys to fathom this. When I left Ashtabula, Ohio, this past Saturday morning, this last Saturday, it was in a snowstorm and delayed me about an hour on my trip, in the snow did. 26 degrees. And it's been that way for, it hasn't broken freezing in a couple weeks. So needless to say, this is a wonderful respite for us to be here in Ashtabula. This is the time of year, I'm thinking I need a winter house down here or something, Praise God. Well, we've missed you guys. This is, we've had so many great times with you over the last few years, and it's just so good to be back, and our hearts are here. And how many know God has good things in store for us tonight? He's here to do good things, and we got some testimonies for you, but we'll get into the Word, and I think I'll kind of work some testimonies in as we go. How's that sound? All right. Let's look again tonight at the woman with the issue of blood. Matthew chapter 9, and starting in verse 18. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. And you guys know that I preach from this story a lot. For me, it's all there. Everything is in the story, the woman with the issue of blood. I love it. If the Lord forbade me to preach on anything else for the rest of my life, I would have plenty of material in the woman with the issue of blood, So it's a beautiful story. And one thing before we get started that I want to point out to you is this, is that, sometimes your miracles find you. They just fall on you. And it's almost as if you don't know how it happened. It might have been because of, somebody else was praying, somebody else's faith, somebody else believing for you. You remember the story of Vinny, who happened right here in this room. His miracle kind of found him. He wasn't looking for a miracle. He didn't come that night expecting and just kind of found him. And, how many have had things like that where you weren't necessarily believing for it? You weren't necessarily hardly expecting it, and some blessing the Lord bestowed upon you or some manifestation in your life. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes your miracles find you. We rejoice in it. Sometimes they don't. How many of you found that? They don't just fall on you. They just don't just pop out of anywhere. Well, that was the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus didn't come and knock on her door. Jesus didn't, there was people he did. The man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus walked up to him. And the man didn't even know who Jesus was. In fact, Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole? Will you be made whole?" And he's still thinking about the pool. He says, "Well, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool." He doesn't even realize what Jesus is able to do, that Jesus could be the source of his healing. And I imagine that man was taken by surprise by the miracle that found him. The man at the gate beautiful was like that. Peter and John were on their way to the temple for the time of prayer. And this man's begging for alms. Peter said, "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." When the man was looking, expecting to receive money from them, instead he was able to walk for the first time in his life. That miracle took him by surprise. It kind of found him that day at the gate beautiful. He didn't go out. We don't have any evidence that he went out that day and was saying, "Today's my day. I'm going to walk. Peter's coming by here," and released his faith. But if your miracle hasn't found you, then there's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And she went out and found her miracle. Boy, that's encouraging to me. Because whatever it is you need, if it hasn't fallen on you yet, I've got good news for you. You can still go out and get it. You can still apprehend it. Too many people, someday God's going to heal me. Someday when he's ready. Someday when it's his timing. Woman with the issue of blood might have still been waiting if she had that kind of approach to it. But let's look at that story now. Let's pick it up there. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 18, and there's two stories combined here. While he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If only I touch his garment, I will get well." But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." At once the woman was made well. When Jesus came into the official's house, and saw the flute players in the crowd in noisy disorder, he said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout all the land. Amen. We could stop there. So here we've got two stories intertwined, and it's important to kind of see the context of it, because Jesus wasn't on his way to find the woman with the issue of blood, was he? He was on his way to Jairus' house to go heal his daughter, and this miracle actually took Jesus by surprise more than the woman. And there's something that's really nice about it, though, is that in the different accounts of the story, it tells us one thing. This whole thing started because the woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus, the Bible tells us. Turn to your neighbor and say, she heard about him. So it's really nice because Jesus didn't come and say, "Yay, I've chosen you. This is your divine day. It's, you know, set aside before the foundations of the earth were laid. Yay, even before time began." I had a roommate in college, and he used to crack me up so much. He would use, like, Elizabethan King James English just around the house. I would laugh so hard. Like, one day we cleaned the refrigerator out, and he walks in the room, you know. He opens up the refrigerator door, and he said, "Yea, the Lord hath wrought great things in this kitchen, even this day." And I mean, I would just roll, man. He was hilarious. And he was a piano major, and he was a pianist major, and he went to a conservatory in Cleveland, so they moved a grand piano into our house so he could practice. And you know, he practiced one piece all year to play at the end of the year, all year. So hours and hours and hours, would play it several times a day. So I would be, you know, I mean, one piece, and he would practice it for hours a day, you know, every day. So I would be like, you know, this song, I'm like, "Nate, I'm going to play this song by the end of the year. Never touched piano in my life, but I'm going to be able to sit down and play this song," you know, because we heard it over and over again. But, you know, the other thing besides classical music that he was really good at, I don't know, you know, this is just for your entertainment, strictly, has nothing to do with inspiring your faith. So he used to be able to play the theme song of any 70s TV show. So you name it, you know, or 80s, early 80s TV show, A-Team, dun, 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 and he did it, you know. We'd be like, we'd just sit around. So this is what we do in the house, Sanford and Son, dude. And he'd bust it out. But he would do it, I mean, like he was playing Carnegie Hall, you know? I mean, he would, you know, he'd go and we would laugh and roll. Little House on the Prairie, the Waltons, he played it all, you know? So he was a funny guy. Strictly for your entertainment, that was. All right, let's get back to the purpose here, if I can. So the woman with the issue of blood heard about him. And Jesus didn't come to her and say, "This is your special day. You know, set down. Destiny has appointed this day for you." She heard about him. How many of her heard about him before? Amen. So she didn't have any advantage that you don't have. She didn't have anything that you don't have here tonight. Now, the only thing that maybe she had an advantage was she might have heard the right thing and you might have heard the wrong thing about him. Thank God she heard the right thing about him. Whatever she heard about him, see, that's the only thing. You might have heard about Jesus, but you might not have heard about the Bible Jesus. You might not have heard about Jesus like the Bible tells us who he is. Thank God she did. Bible said she heard about Jesus, and somebody came and told her about it. Boy, that's an unsung hero right there, because none of this would have happened if it wasn't for those people who brought the message of Jesus to this woman. You know, I mean, she was nameless, but even though those people are also remain nameless. But somebody was so key to it wouldn't have happened if somebody hadn't told her. I mean, think about it. I know there's some people. How many of you were invited here tonight by somebody else? Would you raise your hand so I could see it right there? All right, good. Amen. Boy, if somebody hadn't invited you, somebody told you, they love you, you could feel loved tonight. Somebody said, "Come, I care about you." But, you know, that was this woman. If it wasn't for those people who told her about Jesus, that never could have happened. That miracle never could have taken place. And I've often thought this. I kind of wish, you know, I wish that what they told her was recorded in Scripture, because I would preach it everywhere I go, you know, because it was so good. Whatever these people told her, it was so good. It inspired her to such a degree that she makes this statement that's recorded there. She says, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Everybody say, "I will." Boy, there's not a more powerful statement in the human language than "I will." Whatever she heard gave her certainty. She spoke with an absoluteness. There was no hesitation or question in her voice. There was no plan B. There was no safety net. She came with an I will. She didn't come with an I might. She didn't come with an I maybe. She didn't come with an I hope so. She didn't come with an if it be thy will. But she approached Jesus with an I will be made whole. I will. Praise God. So whatever she heard inspired her to take such a firm stand, inspired her to have such certainty. No wavering in what she said. My God, I will be made whole. She heard the right thing about Jesus. Now, if we work backwards from her statement, we could conclude some of the things that she must have been told. One thing we can conclude is that she must have been told that there's no favorites, there's no specially chosen, but it is for anybody and everybody. The power of Jesus and what he does is for anybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's for you. She must have heard that because she wasn't specially chosen by Jesus, because Jesus didn't come and knock on her door. Yet somehow she approached him with certainty that it was for her. I will be made whole. I will, she said. Everybody say, I will. And she went to Jesus with expectancy that she would be accepted. Not just everybody else, not just somebody else, but that she would be accepted. What she must have been told is that Jesus is a healer. You know, we can't gloss over that and look over that. Because she must have been told that Jesus was a healer because her main problem was sickness. Now, of course, she had a sin problem. Jesus was going to take care of that and go to the cross and die on the cross and raise again from the dead. But she must have heard that Jesus was a healer because she saw him as the answer to her sickness problem. Everybody say, Jesus is the healer. Because she didn't go with just a vague idea of just, you know, my life will be improved in some way. I'll have a more positive outlook. But she had a vision that when she got to Jesus, she'd come to him sick and she'd leave well and healed of her sickness. She would leave whole in her body. She saw Jesus as the answer to her sickness problem. She must have heard that Jesus was the healer. My God, that's still the message today. He still is the healer today. If this message was the message 2,000 years ago, when the woman with the issue of blood was suffering from her affliction, then this is still the message to the hurting and suffering today, because we don't serve a different Jesus in 2013. We don't have a watered down, you know, Jesus 2.5 model. We have Jesus Christ who's what? The same yesterday and today and forever. Everybody say today. So if the message reached her that Jesus was her healer 2,000 years ago, that message is still good today. He's still the healer today. She said, I will be made whole. She heard that he was the answer to her sickness problem. This needs to be a part of every statement of faith, every church's foundational doctrine, every believer's philosophy. This needs to be a foundational truth. She must have heard whatever she heard about Jesus. We don't know if this person talked to her for days. We don't know if this person talked to her for 5 minutes, but included in what she was told was that Jesus was her healer. Not just that he was a healer, but he was her healer. Not just that he'd healed some people, but that he would heal her. Not that just he'd done it sometimes and you could never tell, but he will definitely do it for you. And that's the message today. She said, I will be made whole. And she must have heard that Jesus accepts everybody, because she said, she saw herself as included. Boy, that's a powerful one. Man, that's a powerful one. I know he does it for this person. I know he did it for that one. But somebody told her, somebody convinced her. God bless that person. Somebody convinced her that it was for her as much as every other person that Jesus had ever healed. That he didn't pick favorites. He didn't just go around, and there wasn't just certain people, the really holy people, the really whatever people, the people who attended church and the temple every hour of prayer, the people who, you know, gave the most to the poor. But it was for everybody. And Jesus, of course, shared this perspective. Because I love when the miracle happens. Jesus touches the hem of his garment and power goes out of him. And he looks at the crowd and he says, "Who touched me?" Now, that would be the same as if tonight I'm standing here, or Jesus was standing here, you know. We'll put Jesus here. And he walked in body tonight and walked across the front, you know, just like he did 2,000 years ago in this story. And then let's say Danielle here. Jesus has turned the other way and he's looking at your nice sign on the screen. Oh, midweek boost. And he's saying, "Well, what's your midweek service like?" And meanwhile, while Jesus is talking to Pastor Matt, Danielle sneaks up behind, touches the hem of his garment, and then slips back to her seat. And then Jesus looks at this whole church and he looks around, and Jesus knows that power's gone out of him. He knows that healing power has gone out of him. He knows what happened here. We know from the scripture he's not in the dark. He doesn't just think somebody bumped into him. Jesus is aware of what happened, that a miracle, a healing took place in somebody's body. And then he looks, you know, so imagine. So Danielle touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Power goes out of Jesus into Danielle. Then Jesus looks at the crowd and he says, "Who was it? Which one of you was it? Was it you, Eddie? Who was it? Was it you, Fabiola? Who was it? Ben, was it you? Who was it?" In other words, as far as Jesus was concerned, everybody in that crowd was qualified for a healing miracle. Every single person. Everybody say, "I'm qualified." I mean, that's the whole story right there, isn't it? It's all there. "Who touched me?" he said. He knew a healing miracle happened. He looks at this big crowd of people. And as far as Jesus was concerned, it could have been anybody. Could have been anybody there. Everybody say, "It could have been me." So there's a few steps in this story that we could see clearly. Number one, she heard about him and she heard the right thing. What did she hear? One, she heard that it was for her. Everybody again say, "It's for me." She heard that he was the healer. And she must have heard that he was the healer of everything, like not just the easy things. It seems, you know, we find different as we go around and spend time praying for the sick. You find people in different, they kind of have different levels of expectation about what God will and won't heal. Sometimes things are too small for God, they think. "Well, this is so small, I can't trouble God with this." There's people with cancer. There's people with, you know, serious problems. "I can't bother God with my asthma or gout or, you know, my sore knees or something like that." But thank God we don't have to budget his power tonight. It's not like a checkbook where we say, "Man, if we take that vacation, we won't have enough for mortgage." No, there's enough to go around of God's power. Amen? There's enough. There's enough power here tonight to drive out every ounce of arthritis, every bit, every symptom of arthritis, every trace of arthritis, and still raise the dead. There's enough power to do that here tonight. And we don't have to budget the power of God. He's not the God who's just enough. He's certainly not the God who's not enough, but he is the God that's more than enough. He's more than enough for whatever it is you need. So sometimes people think, "Oh, this is too small to bother God with." Sometimes people are afraid that it's too big. You know, the friends of Lazarus thought that his case was too difficult. It was too hard. He had been dead for 4 days, and Mary told Jesus, "If you'd been here 4 days ago, you could have done something. But now it's too late." And then Jesus said, "No," I can basically paraphrase. Jesus said, "I can still do something." You know, and I like to share this. I look around here tonight, and I don't know what you're facing, but it looks to me that everybody here is at least 4 days ahead of Lazarus. At least. And you might think your case is bad, but Jesus could help him. So if it wasn't too late for Lazarus, it's not too late for you either. Everybody say, "It's not too late for me." Some people think it's too big, it's too little to bother God with. Some people think it's too big, I can't bother God with this, it's too much. The followers of Jesus, the disciples, you know, the people of faith, they said, "You could have done something 4 days ago, but today it's too much." Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And they saw his glory that day in a measure that was beyond what they expected he was even able to do. He's always able to do more than we expect, isn't he? Nothing is impossible for those who believe. So somebody must have told her that everything is covered. Nothing's too hard. She had a hard case. 12 years, Physicians had done everything they could. She spent all that she had on physicians. She didn't get any better, but she only grew worse. And God was able to help her. Somebody told her, that's all right. There was no worldly hope for her. World didn't have an answer for her. If doctors had tried everything, they couldn't help her. You know, that could be a very difficult position to be in if you don't have faith in God. When the world has given up, that's the end of the road. But thank God when the world's answer is in, God has hardly even begun. God can do in a second what man can't do in 10 million years. And somebody told her, your case is covered. This isn't too hard for God. Gave her confidence to expect that God's power was so great that, man, it was going to take care of what she was facing. That it was greater than what she was up against. That's what I want you to know tonight. The power of God is greater than whatever you're up against. The power of God is greater than whatever you're facing. So she hears about Jesus. She hears the message. She accepts the message. And then she makes a decision. And she says, I will be made whole. She did something with the message. Now, I hope you've heard tonight. Let me just recap on some of these major points. Jesus is your healer. Everybody say, Jesus is my healer. You don't have a case that's too hard for him. It's for you just like it's ever been for anybody else tonight. He just wasn't the healer a long time ago, but he's the healer here tonight. He's here tonight to do what he's always done. Jesus is your healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not picking favorites. You're qualified. You're accepted. You're one that he wants to heal. You're one that, I'm certain of it. You're one that he wants to move in your life. There's no question. You are not an exception to the rule. You are not somebody who's messed up too much or hasn't done everything right or hasn't qualified. This is the beauty of the gospel. It's good news because none of us are qualified. Some people always take a deserve it approach to the blessings of God. Do people deserve it or not? Sometimes, especially people who've somehow abused their body in some way and then they're dealing with the consequences of it, they think, well, I don't deserve it because, you know, I've smoked all my life. I don't care if you put out a cigarette on your way into the sanctuary. I'm telling you that Jesus is here to heal you tonight. Amen. It doesn't have anything to do with deserve it. We all deserved hell. We all deserved punishment. And Jesus got us out of that mess. So she heard that he was the healer. She heard that she was qualified because everybody was qualified. She heard that nothing was too hard for him. So with that information, she made a decision and she took a stand. And you can make a decision in your life, just like she did. Because you're just as qualified as she was. You're just as accepted as she was. His power is for you just as much as it was for her. She said, I will. You could say, I will. Amen? Because Jesus already has, you can say, I will. I will be made whole. Because he already has healed you. He already has taken your sicknesses. He already has paid the price. So you can say, I will. Amen? She made a decision. And what followed that decision was a flow of Jesus. She made a decision and then she took action. She took action. She decided, I will be made whole. And then she touched the hem of his garment. She acted her faith. She did something. Amen. Maybe you're here to do something tonight. You've come here as an act of your faith. I'm just going to do something. I'm not just going to sit. I'm going to go to that service. What could it hurt? I'm going to do something. You're moving in the right direction. The wheels are turning. You know, I used to work at a ministry and we prayed with a lot of sick people. And we used to tell them, if you can't get into drive, at least get into neutral because then we could get behind and push you and get you moving. Get out of reverse, though. Because don't work against us. If you can't start driving towards your miracle, stop backing away from it. Put it in neutral and we'll get behind you and push. Amen. She took action. She did something. Man, she put it to the wood and was full speed ahead. She went out to where Jesus was. She said, I will be made whole. And she went out and got it. Amen. You could do that. And the Bible tells us that as she acted her faith, she was met by God's power. God's power met her. Power flowed into her. That power is still flowing tonight. That same power. It has the same ability. It has the same, it's able to do the same that it did for her, it could do for you here in this room tonight. That power is still flowing. Hasn't dried up, hasn't tapered off. That power is still here tonight. Jesus is here tonight, and his power is here tonight. Some people have said, well, you know, miracles have passed away. Biggest lie the devil's ever sold. Miracles have stopped. But yet the Bible tells us, the Gospels tell us, that the reason that Jesus healed was because of compassion. It said he looked at the multitudes, he had compassion, and he healed their sick. In order for miracles to stop flowing, Jesus' compassion would have had to have dried up and grown cold. The love of God would have had to have stopped for miracles to stop. It's impossible. God would, his very nature would have had to change for miracles to stop, because the Bible tells us God is love. And miracles were not just to establish Jesus' messianic credentials. Miracles were not just as a show of power, but miracles were an outflow of God's love towards mankind. And God still loves you today, just like 2,000 years ago. So this power is still flowing today. You can do the same thing that she did. You can receive the message. You can make a decision. You can act your faith, and you can expect the power to meet you just like it met her. And make a change in your body. That power is still flowing today, isn't it? Now, I don't know. Some of you might not have heard the story. I know it happened here, but I've been sharing it everywhere I go, and there's some new faces tonight. So let's talk about this. I want to tell you a story about a man named Vinny who came into this church back in June, it was. Wasn't it? Was that Father's Day? Or was it Father's Day? It was in June, right? In June. In June he came in. And he came in from Charleston, South Carolina. He came in with Molly Judd, and Josh. Well, I don't know Josh's last name, but anyways, came in. He was invited to come to Augusta for the weekend from Charleston, South Carolina. And he came in expecting to ride jet skis, from what I understand, and was surprised, got in late Saturday night, and was surprised Sunday morning when they said, come on, Vinny, it's time for church. And his initial response was, I don't go to church. You people go to church, I don't. But under some persuasion and coercion from his friends, he was somewhat dragged to church and ended up here on Sunday morning. Nate's brother Greg was speaking. And Nate's brother Greg was speaking on being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, I laugh because if it was up to me, I'm not sure I would have chose that as Vinny's first service. God's smarter than we are. And he did an excellent job. He nailed it. He did really good. Well, they invited some people forward at the end of the service to pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. After these people came forward, they were taken off to a prayer room. And Vinny was severely disappointed because he didn't get to hear somebody speak in tongues. Now, Vinny was, of his own description, he was a very ungodly person. He did not believe in Christianity. He thought maybe there was a higher power, but certainly not what we, what we believe and what we practice. The Christianity that, maybe there's a creator. Not sure, maybe. But not this Christianity thing. So Vinny was dragged to the Sunday morning service. But during that Sunday morning service, they announced that I'd be speaking and have a miracle service that night. So Vinny was interested to see what we thought was a miracle, and he wanted to hear somebody speak in tongues. So he actually asked to come to the Sunday night service. So Vinny's there. I preached that night. Many of you were here. How many were there that night? Raise your hands. Amen. And some wonderful things happened. I remember I was ministering that night on what did you come for? And, it said of the people that came to hear Jesus, they came to hear and be healed. They came with a purpose, and they came for a reason. And I was ministering, what did you come for tonight? Well, Vinny came to hear somebody speak in tongues and to, see what we thought was a miracle. And that's what he came for. Then we started to minister to people. God was doing some great things. I remember one young woman was, her lungs were opened up. She was dealing with asthma. Vanessa, I believe your back was touched that night. Amen. And I remember her doing calisthenics up here, and God touched her back. And there were some others, and things were happening. And Vinny's watching this whole thing play out, and he's thinking to himself. He was seated back over here in the Netzler section. And I remember seeing him in the Netzler section. We should have color-coded, What color would the Netzler section be, Find it quickly. You'll find your seats are waiting. So Vinny was over here, sitting next to Courtney Netzler. And I'd never met him before. And as he's sitting there, he's watching these miracles take place. And he's thinking to himself, it seems like these people are sincere. But I don't think this is enough to change what I believe. He's having this silent conversation in his head. He said, I guess if it happened to me, I'd believe it. Well, what he was thinking about was that when he was 15 years old, 6 years prior, the doctors had found a tumor in his left ear. And they had given him an option that he could go through some radiation, chemo, something like that. Maybe it would get smaller. Or they could just cut that tumor out, be done with it. He wouldn't have to mess with it anymore. But if they cut the tumor out, he would definitely be deaf in his left ear. So Vinny chose for them to take out that tumor out of his left ear. They cut the tumor out of his left ear. It left him deaf in his left ear. And he had no physical feeling. If he touched it, it was numb, his left ear. So he's sitting in the seat, and he says, he's sitting there having this conversation, this isn't enough to change what I believe. And if God is really speaking to this guy, he would know that I was here, and he would know what was wrong with me. This is what he's thinking. He no sooner finishes that thought, and I remember I was standing right here, and I'm facing this way. He was there. I didn't look at him. I didn't know anything about what was going on in his life, but I was kind of standing here, and I said, wait, I forgot to minister to ears. And the Lord had impressed me earlier that day to minister to ears. And Vinny was there. And as soon as he finishes this thought, if God's really talking to this guy, I said, wait, I forgot to minister to ears. And, you know, we had Vinny's attention. So I said, it was funny because I remember there was some things that I said different than he heard. That was interesting. I thought I said something about a right ear, and it was Vinny's left ear. And then I just said, well, if whatever your good ear was, plug the good ear and hear out of the bad, what was formerly bad. The way Vinny heard it was just touch your ear and hear. That's what he heard. Yeah, right. Through the Holy Spirit translator, touch your ear and hear, So, thank God, He heard it right. Whatever I said, he heard it right. So he reached up and touched his ear. And as he did, he said it was like he had two, he said, he described it this way. He said, imagine having two earbuds in and one of them shorted out. You ever have two headphones on and one of them's out, cords, shorted? And he said, and all of a sudden it comes on and kind of startles you for a second. He said, that's exactly what it was like. He reached up, he touched that left ear. He heard like a pop and a crackle, and bam, hearing came on. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you remember what he came to the service that night for. The first thing he heard out of that ear was Claire Netzler speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. That was the first thing he heard out of his ear. Amen. He was not disappointed. He came that night to see a miracle and to hear somebody speak in tongues. Well, now the last we heard, amen. The last we heard, not long ago, he was down there in Charleston driving, and he in his car, by phone, Courtney was praying with him, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit in his car driving. And now he himself is speaking in tongues. Amen. Praise God. And I understand he's coming to be baptized before too long. Baptized in water. So the plan of God's moving forward. Now that night he called on the name of Jesus. There was something else beautiful that happened. Right after this happened, we ministered to the sick. I said, wait. I said, I gave an invitation. And nobody responded. Nobody came forward. And sometimes I just felt, well, let's just pray in our seats. So right where Vinny was, he called on Jesus' name. And he said, it felt like a weight was lifted off. And it felt like all my guilt and my pain was lifted off me. And he said, he looked around and he saw love in people's faces. Now, the beautiful thing about that testimony is Vinny didn't know that's what it's supposed to feel like. He hadn't heard 1,000 testimonies like that, like we had. But bless God, it felt like that anyway. He said, all my guilt and all my shame was lifted off right at that moment. Now, some people feel it like that. Some people don't. But all the same, it's real. And here's what happens every time. God makes you a new creature and washes your sins away. And you're made white as snow because of the blood of Jesus. And you'll never be the same again. Well, Vinny said, when his deaf ear was opened up, he said, everything I believe changed at that moment. Everything I believe changed at that moment. We rejoice for that. So then, that was back in June. In November, we actually had a really slim schedule in November, December. And one of our slowest schedules it'll be 10 years coming up here that I've been traveling. And I said, boy, this is just, this is not acceptable. We got to do something. Like Paul said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. He said, got to do something. So just like, I taught you insight students this summer. I said, man, just do something. There's always something to do. So what do you have? Who do you know? What could you do? Stand on the corner, do something. Well, we've got this armory building. How many have been to the armory building? A bunch of you guys came up, the luxurious National Guard armory, Ashtabula, Ohio. Well, my office is in there. I'm good friends with the guy who bought it. Interesting story. He's this Vietnam vet farmer who was driving by the armory, and there was an auction one day, and he felt the Lord prompted him to buy it, and he just drove in and buy it. Aren't you glad there's people like that? Amen. bought a huge, just that day, man. He went in and bought that armory. That's how it's in the body of Christ, So my office is there. And I said, we've got access to this armory, big building. Old building, but big building, good building. And so I said, why don't we start doing monthly meetings? So we started one in October. My brother came up and for the October meeting and shared the testimony about how God saved his life in Iraq and God spared him and just, in combat. And then November was our second month. In November, somebody had invited a friend, and I think it's very similar to the woman with the issue of blood story. She was facing some difficult situations. Woman from Erie, Pennsylvania, invited her friend. Her baby was 6 months old at that time in November. She had been to the doctors and just received the report that because of a tumor, tumors were in her left and right eye, but because of the tumor in her left eye, the doctors had said her left eye is going to have to be removed, definitely. And the woman said, I believe in prayer and I believe in God. And the doctor kind of scoffed at her. Not trying to be mean, but just kind of like, listen, you're going to be begging me to take out this baby's eye because the pain and the pressure is going to become such a degree that she's going to be crying and screaming and you will want to have this taken out. Well, after that, the mother was then invited and came to our armory meeting in November, came to the service. And we prayed for her that night, and she was very skeptical. She was a believer, but she didn't know about all this healing stuff. She didn't know about all this. She made the comment to me that she wasn't going to come, and she was really not sure about it. And then she finally did come, and she really got there supernaturally even. She, went the GPS led her the wrong way, and she prayed and asked God to get her there, and she got there. So she came that night. We prayed for the baby, and there wasn't, you couldn't tell if anything was different. There was no way to tell anything. Just prayed that night, and she left. A few days later, 3 days later, actually, we received a report. She lives in Erie, Pennsylvania, but her doctor's in New York City, and they travel back and forth to New York City. She went back to her doctor. He took some scans and charts, and he came back with this really, surprised look on his face as he comes back with the charts. And he says, are we looking at a miracle here? That's what he said. He said, the left eye was 95% healed. The right eye was 100% healed. Amen. Went back on a subsequent visit. And they have now detected sight in the baby's eye. She was blind because of the tumor. She was totally blind in her left eye. There's now sight in that left eye. And now in the second visit, the doctor went on the record. And he said that we are continuing to see miraculous results. Amen. Miraculous, he said. Praise God. So that was in November. Now, just a few weeks ago, I was in Elyria, Ohio, on the west side of Cleveland, and I was at a little church, probably had, between 25 and 30 people that morning. It was my first time there. The pastor was in a service of ours a couple months ago, I think 5-6 months ago, and he was there, and he just asked me to pray for his hands. He's my age, he's in his 30s, and his hands were, he didn't even really know what it was. The doctors maybe thought that he was making really tight fists at night. And that it would cause so much tension that when he woke up in the morning, his hands were almost stiff, And I was like, brother, what do you do for a living? Do you pastor? What do you do? So he's a pastor, right? So those people, So in his sleep, he would make these, whatever the reason. It had been 2 years, it had been 2 years. They couldn't help him. He's making these fists and he wakes up every morning in pain. His wife is massaging his hands and it's horrible. So the doctors gave him these big these big like braces to put on his hands. So, you know, I mean, that had to be comfortable. So to try to like, you know, keep him from being able to make a fist, and he couldn't sleep with those on. So what was better, you know, the sickness or the cure? So anyhow, we prayed for him in a service and God healed his hands. And, you know, we couldn't have, again, this is another situation. We couldn't have told anything that night. We wouldn't have known if there was a difference that night. But I just declared by faith. I said, tomorrow morning you'll wake up and instead of being in pain, you'll lift your hands and praise God and thank him for your healing. Next morning he woke up and for the first time in 2 years, his hands were pain-free. And that was 5 or 6 months ago. And he's been free ever since. His video is actually on Facebook. And you can see he tells his testimony. So he had us come out to his church. He said, well, would you come and minister for me? Absolutely. So we went out to his church. There was a woman there in a wheelchair named Sally, and she was in a electric wheelchair. She had a trach, had an oxygen tank on the back, a breathing machine. And we were ministering to people, and then we went back to her and prayed for her. Now, I thought, this is another interesting thing. I thought she said, I can walk. I don't know why. Jocelyn and I both thought she said that. It was hard to understand her with the trach, you know, and her voice was very soft and kind of muffled. And she would talk to us, and I thought she said, I can walk. Well, I thought she was just clarifying that so we wouldn't pray for her for that, saying, no, it's okay, I can walk. Because, you know, there's a lot of reasons people are in wheelchairs. Sometimes, you know, people at stores and stuff, they just got to get off their legs for a while. So we said, okay, well, we'll pray for your lungs. So we prayed and commanded her lungs to be whole in Jesus' name. She had COPD, all kinds of trouble going on. Commanded her to breathe in Jesus' name, be whole. So I didn't really know what to tell her to do. You know, usually we'll give somebody something to do. Jesus always gave people something to do. Stretch forth your hand to the man who was lame. He said, take up your bed and walk. So usually we'll give people something to do. So we said, well, do something. You know, do what you want to do. Do what's on your heart to do. Well, she kicks these footrests up and gets up and starts walking. Well, I was not incredibly excited because I just thought she told me she could walk. I said, well, sure, go ahead, you know. Well, other people were excited. It apparently, those were the first steps that she'd taken in a year and a half. The doctors told her that her legs didn't work anymore, that she would not walk. Things had happened through various procedures and thought, you know, like I think something was cut in surgery and different things happened. And anyway, she was not able to walk. And so she got up and walked. Not only did she walk, but she was walking and she said, I can breathe while I walk, which was a big deal, you know. She couldn't do that before, just a couple weeks ago. And, you know, her son had an apartment that was only accessed by stairs, a basement apartment. And she had just resigned herself to the fact that she would never see that apartment because there was no wheelchair accessibility to it. Well, that afternoon, after service, she went to her son's for lunch and walked down those stairs. Amen. First time in a year and a half. Walked down those stairs. Now, these all happened within the past 9 months. And I just realized it when I shared those three testimonies in Alabama last Sunday. I was in Clanton, Alabama this past Sunday. And here's these three things that we had happen. We had Vinny's deaf ear open. We had Evelyn's blind eye see. And we had Sally's lame legs walk. Amen. And you know, that's always how they describe Jesus' ministry. You read it in the Gospels. The deaf will hear, the deaf hear, the blind see, and the lame walk. He's still the same Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That wasn't 100 years ago. That wasn't on some third world country platform. That was in the past 9 months. One of those miracles happened in this room. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's just worship the Lord tonight. Give him glory.